Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Live from Circuit of the Americas, you're listening to Speed City's coverage of the Formula One United States Grand Prix. Speed City's coverage is brought to you by the F4 US Championship, sanctioned by SCCA Pro Racing.
All right, gearheads, welcome to the show. We have just watched Lewis Hamilton crown your 2019 Formula One champion. A win by Valtteri Bottas. Hamilton in second and wraps it up. This is John Massengill sitting in studio at Circuit of the Americas in the Media Center with Les Kaiser. Well, what do you think, Mr. Kaiser?
Oh, you know, that was a fantastic race. Can that British guy quit being so loud out there? That's our partner, Jonathan Green, if you don't recognize it.
Yeah, Jonathan's out there on the podium.
Oh, no! Oh, mayhem!
It's all over.
Actually,
fantastic race.
I think Bob Contadoris is on the podium. Jonathan's in the booth next door, but
yeah.
It was pretty good racing here at Circuit of the Americas. Not the most exciting of the season, but it was interesting, and we had some drama with Sebastian Vettel going out early in the race with crazy suspension problem.
Great sportsmanship as they were in the ready room. We saw Sebastian Vettel come in and congratulate Valtteri and Hamilton as well as Max, but you know, he was responding to the championship and the race win.
Yeah. And Max Verstappen was closing the gap to Hamilton towards the end of the race there, and we thought we might be able to get to see some hard racing there at the end, but
absolutely.
But you know, the weekend here at Circuit of the Americas has been picture perfect. This is a sold out crowd. First time ever at this.
A little chilly, but we survived.
Oh, it was chilly early in the weekend, but today is a fantastic, perfect day out here at Cota. It's like 72 degrees.
The positioning of the podium is perfect for the weather right now. The sun's shining them on there. Everybody's there with a big smile. Track invasion, very successful. Look at that. Folks from the podium all the way back around turn 20. That's quite a distance there from wall to wall for the track. Valtteri's national anthem playing now.
Yeah, this crazy amount of fans, incredible.
Just like a deep breath. Look at that sea of folks. Look at all the country flags all through there, as well as team flags. Wonderful seeing that kind of mixture together on the track.
Okay, Rick Perry, the governor of the three-time governor of Texas, longest-serving governor in Texas history, is handing Valtteri Bottas the trophy. For just a split second, I thought that was Arnold Schwarzenegger. He's a two-thirds model.
There you go.
I can't over-speak about the crowd here at Circuit of the Americas. It is amazing. I mean, I know it's a record crowd, but I've never seen anything like it. I mean, the turn one, you can normally see grass between the main grandstands and turn one, and it's just a sea of people. We knew the ticket sales were super strong. We had a record crowd here Saturday. Friday was huge. Friday was the biggest crowd I've ever seen. They didn't call it a record, but it's kind of hard to tell. But
Bobby Epstein of the Circuit of America's handing Hamilton his second place.
And, of course, Matthew McConaughey has been the visiting dignitary from Austin. He's been all over the television screens. Max Verstappen on podium. Here comes the champagne spray. Lewis gets it started. There goes Max.
I did not see who the Mercedes representative for Manufacturers Trophy was, but he is soaked right now.
Yeah, the camera's focusing on Lewis Hamilton's brother.
That's his father there.
Oh, that was his father, wasn't it? Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, that one was his father. Nicholas's brother's often in the paddock, and so we usually see those guys around.
Hi, we're very excited to welcome a race driver to the booth, Christian Brooks. Christian, welcome to the show. Let me get your mic here, Christian, 1 second. There you go. Welcome to the show, buddy.
Thank you. I'm excited to talk to you guys.
Christian's racing in the F4, right?
Yeah, the Formula 4 U.S.
Championship. In fact, you won a race, didn't you?
Yeah, so yesterday we started 20th and ended up finishing second, and today we went from 6th to 1st, so it was a great weekend.
Oh, congratulations. Fantastic. That's fantastic.
Well, I know you had to be watching this. How was this for strategy playing out?
Oh, I think it was good. It was nice to see Bottas get a win, for sure, and Lewis still locking up the championship. It probably went in the team, so that's exactly what the team wanted, for sure. So it was cool to see, and then to see Max get the Red Bull up on the podium is always a cool sight.
How about this crowd?
I've got to ask you, what's it like winning a race in front of a giant? I mean, I don't know what the numbers are. They've got to be 120,000, 130,000 people, maybe more.
Yeah, so I think it really is more than that.
Haas car going by our window.
Wow.
So we can't see the track for a while.
The Haas car, Magnussen's car was literally touching distance outside our window. Go ahead. Sorry, Christian.
Yeah, so when you get on the track and visors down, you don't notice anything else other than the apex. So, I mean, you don't really think about it. You try to just block out all the spectators until after the race, obviously. But, yeah, try not to think about it and just keep your head down and focus.
And Lewis Hamilton, Valtteri Bottas waving to the crowd with the trophies and the champagne bottles. That champagne bottle is almost as big as Valtteri Bottas.
I am really happy for Valtteri. I mean, I enjoy interacting with him out here, and in Monaco, it was so great to see fans just generally excited, and he was so friendly and accommodating. There you go. Matthew McConaughey using the Hook 'em Horns emblem.
Yeah.
It's part of his signing 7.
We get some wide camera shots. Yeah. So your winner, Valtteri Bottas, Lewis Hamilton now 2019 champion. Max Verstappen was 3rd on the podium. Charles Leclerc 4th, Alexander Albon, Daniel Ricciardo, Lando Norris, Carlos Sainz, Nico Hülkenberg, Sergio Perez in 10th, the final points position for the Racing Point Mercedes team. Fastest lap, of course, Charles Leclerc went out with those soft tires. As soon as I saw those soft tires, I was like, yeah, I know what that's all about. He's going out for those. Yeah. So Valtteri
Bottas. Get that point.
Yeah, to get that 1 point.
Lap number 44, no less.
Kimi Raikkonen in 11th. Kvyat, Stroll, Giovinazzi, Grosjean, Gasly, Russell, and Magnussen was the last car the car went dead. The brakes were dead on the last lap. And Sebastian Vettel, I don't know. You were out. We've been stuck in the booth here, Christian. Did you hear it? What was the cause of the suspension failure for Sebastian Vettel?
Yeah, so it looked like he hit one of those big exit curbs. I'm not sure if it was on the inside or outside. I hadn't seen it, but that's the story, is that he hit one of those curbs, the car bottomed out real bad, and just broke the car. So,
yeah, that was a dramatic-looking suspension failure with the back right completely collapsed, and then the front left tire was sticking up in the air.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, those curbs are no joke out there. If you get over one of those, I've seen a couple F4 guys almost literally do wheelies and almost backflip. So, yeah, they're pretty gnarly out there.
So your final championship points, Hamilton wins with 381 points. And Christian, I mean, being a race driver, here's constructor championship points, 695 points for Mercedes, 479 for Ferrari, Red Bull 366, Renault Racing Point, Toro Rosso, Alfa, Haas, and Williams.
How about that crowd? Look at that track. We're seeing an overview helicopter quite a ways up, just about the entire front straightaway covered with folks.
You're right. I mean, you could easily disperse that crowd a little bit, and it would cover the entire front straightaway. And we are joined in the booth by the man that's been telling the crowd what's going on. Jonathan Green, buddy, welcome in, buddy.
All right.
Yeah.
Doesn't get any better, does it?
Yeah, Matthew McConaughey.
Texas royalty, and definitely the initiated man of the moment.
McConaughey was hogging the screen, no surprise.
Wasn't he?
Yeah. Well, what do you think, man? What do you think about this?
I think it was the fitting end to what was a fantastic weekend of racing. I know Lewis wanted to hang on to those tires, but they were gone.
Yeah.
And I think Bottas deserved the win. He was the fastest man all weekend long. He did a brilliant qualifying, but there was nothing between him. And look at this crowd, a record sellout, the first time in history.
Do we have any numbers yet?
No, we don't. Not officially, but I think this will rival 2012, if not beat it. But I've never heard, as mentioned, a sellout before, and the only figure I have is that we had just over 50,000 on Friday, which tells you everything you know. I seem to remember in 2012, I think it was something like 25,000 on Friday, which was huge.
There was a replay of, Christian, you were talking about, there was a replay of Hamilton, I mean of Vettel, with that suspension failure. Did you see that? He came over the curb, you're right.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I was hearing, and I know from experience that those curbs are pretty intense, so you definitely don't want to be on those. And yeah, if you get on those, especially in a car like that, it's not going to end up well for you.
Yeah, well, it was it's been an exciting weekend, man, with the crowd, with the championship being crowned right here in Austin again. It's not the first time we've had Lewis Hamilton crowned champion here in Austin. I think that everybody within even remotely walking distance is in this crowd out in front of the podium on the front straight.
Superb sight. Yeah, we're lost. We're watching. We're doing radio.
Yeah, yeah,
we're lost in the pictures. But it's very true. It's a fantastic scene. Just to describe it, the whole of the front straight, which is a long, long way, is festooned with flags and folk enjoying every moment of what is a special moment in motor racing history, let's remember. Very few men and none in the current era have ever got close. Juan Manuel Fangio got 5. And, of course, Lewis Hamilton, 6. Only one more to go to see if he can get to Michael Schumacher's heady height of 7.
All right. Well, hey, we've got a caller that's called in. We have George from Virginia. Hey, George.
Hey, gentlemen. First, congratulations on a fantastic weekend.
Thank you.
You know, I guess, you know, since your Astros lost my Nationals, you have to have some solace. So. But I'm glad to see. I mean, one thing I hope you and the callers on listeners recognize, we're seeing greatness today with Lewis Hamilton. We saw it with Jordan, saw it with Schumacher, and we need to enjoy this because this doesn't come around too often. It happened on our shores. This is a fantastic day for Formula One and a fantastic day for the U.S. Grand Prix, COTA, and Austin, Texas as a whole.
Well, I'm so glad you said that, George, because we do have to just kind of step back and reflect a little bit, because it is an amazing accomplishment. And the fact that we have this crowd, that the city and the nation, really the country, have embraced this race and that we can crown a champion here, it's amazing. But on a personal note, George, I know you won some tickets from us earlier this year, and I know you didn't get to make it, and I know you emailed us and said, give my ticket to someone else. Well, there is a very happy man by the name of Rich. I hope he's listening, but he's out there. He got your ticket, and he was thanking you on social media. He just said, George, you didn't know your
yeah,
social.
I saw it, and I'm, you know, life takes over, and I'm glad he was able to enjoy it. I don't know if he had an experience. I don't know if he was at the Haas garage. I don't know how that worked out, but. Hopefully he had a great race weekend. Everything I've read, it seemed like everything was stellar. And the weather cooperated, and it was great racing from what I saw. And we saw two things. We saw basically someone become not only a driver. Lewis is a driver for the ages now. We're looking at a historical figure. But for Verstappen coming in third, I think he's the next wave. I really do. Verstappen and Leclerc, we're going to see the next wave. The only downer, and I don't want to down it, is Haas. But I'm not going to waste time on that. That's something for another day. But I just want to commend you gentlemen. I know this week is sort of, you probably got very little sleep running from event to event.
You're right. But, George, you called it right. And you know, thanks for the accolades. We appreciate you guys out in the audience getting into this. You're right. I think watch Max. He's coming around. If you haven't heard the interview with Gunther, listen to what Haas has going on.
Yeah.
There's more to come next year. Next year, I think we're going to see a very different Haas.
And you know what, George? I'm glad you brought up the Haas team, because we spent a lot of time, obviously, in the Haas garage. We talked to these guys a whole bunch, and they don't seem to be – they're looking to next year, and they don't really seem to be down or really upset about it. But, hey, George, we got to go to break. But you know what? One last little note. We're gonna set aside some tickets for next year with your name on them, for giving those tickets back up and give them away to another fan that can enjoy them. So you just keep tuning in, and we're going to get you fixed up for next year.
Okay, gentlemen, take care. Thank you, and congrats on a great Grand Prix.
All right. Absolutely. Thanks, George.
All
righty.
All right, well, we're going to take a break, but if you want to give us a call, 512-643-5483, and give us a call and talk next segment. You're listening to Speed City live from Circuit of the Americas, back after these messages.
Winding Road Racing is your first and best choice for all the essentials for a great weekend at the track. We're racers, and we love helping racers. With a full selection of racing gear in stock, get geared up with all the safety equipment needed to meet all the latest Snell FIA and SFI regulations. Outfit your car with a comprehensive lineup of racing necessities, and when you need to find a few more tents, turn to data acquisition systems from AIM Sports, V-Box, and others. Austin-based with shops in California, Georgia, and Kentucky, the source for all your racing needs. Winding Road Racing, WindingRoadRacing.com.
At Circle Brewing, the belief is less is more when it comes to brewing a better beer. You won't find any chemicals or additives, only water, malt, hops, and yeast, and absolutely nothing else. Just simple ingredients and outstanding taste. It's German purity with Texas ingenuity. Find the brews on tap all over town, in your favorite store, or drop by the tap room at 2340 West Breaker Lane, open Thursday and Friday nights and weekends. Log on to CircleBrewing.com. Circle Brewing Company. Born, bred, and brewed in Texas.
As a rider, you know what you like. The power, the feel, the ride. When it comes to gear, you know what keeps you safe. Ducati Austin provides riders with the finest in day and easy leathers. The best the market offers. Visit Ducati Austin on Breaker Lane just east of I-35 and throw your leg over the most iconic sports bike ever built. Ducati. Even take it for a test ride. Or see what's been described as art on wheels from MV Agusta. You know what you like. See it at Ducati Austin. Online at DucatiAustin.com.
When you're looking for traditional Tex-Mex, look no further than an Austin favorite, One in a Million. Serving original family recipes since 1980 and located just minutes from downtown at 2300 East Cesar Chavez, One in a Million has your Tex-Mex fix every day of the week from 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. Breakfast is served all day. Homemade migas, enchiladas, and menudo. And try the Don Juan taco. Some say it's big enough to feed a family of four. One in a Million. Online at oneinamillion.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Talk 13.7, the right choice.
Hi, this is Max Verstappen, and you're listening to Speed City.
Live from Circuit of the Americas, you're listening to Speed City's coverage of the Formula One United States Grand Prix. Speed City's coverage is brought to you by the F4 US Championship, sanctioned by SCCA Pro Racing.
Welcome back to the show. We're live at Circuit of the Americas, our Super Bowl here in Austin. And we're joined in studio. This is John Massengill, Les Kaiser, Jonathan Green. We're joined by Christian Brooks, race driver who's been racing this weekend in the Formula 4 Series, US F4 Series. And
hang on a minute, Christian Brooks, an American, yes, on his way to being the next big American. We've been asking where he is. He sat right here, folks. Santa Clara, California. Christian Brooks, look it up.
Well, I thought you really should be sitting, not in here, but sitting outside the Haas garage waiting for Gunther and waiting for Gene.
Yeah, exactly.
Can I wash
his
your car?
Is, his dad is.
Your dad is, yeah.
There you go.
Yeah,
his
dad's dad. That's the ultimate goal, of
yeah,
course.
Dad's brought the contract.
Run for an American team. That would be just insane. I mean, honestly, to have any seat in Formula One is a dream come true, but that's what we're shooting for, and I'm not going to give up on that dream.
You know, we talked to Pierre Gasly, and we talked to him about, you know, being demoted down from Red Bull to Toro Rosso. And I said, but life is still pretty good. You're still a Formula One driver in a pretty fast car. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think as a Formula One driver, you can't complain about too much. You get to travel the world, make a lot of money, meet a lot of cool people. So.
All right, well, we have a caller on the line. We have Larry from West Virginia. Hey, Larry, welcome to the show. Pennsylvania, sorry.
Hi, guys. Yeah, I'm in Pennsylvania these days. Well, at least for the rest of today until I get down to South Jersey. It was a really interesting race today. Just a really interesting race. I'm a bit puzzled at what happened to Ferrari, what happened to their pace. After qualifying yesterday, Max said he didn't think they had race pace. And there he is, started third, finished third, and closing at the end on fresher tires. Seems like Honda's got it going on right now for them. And McLaren had a great day. You know, for McLaren, it was a phenomenal day for McLaren. And another failure for Haas. I think I got to believe in my heart of hearts that Sauber, the former Sauber team, now Alfa Romeo, is getting the help Haas used to get. I think with the change in leadership at Ferrari, that Haas is out and Alfa Romeo is in. And I wonder how long they're going to stay with Ferrari before they try to partner with somebody else.
That's an interesting question. I hadn't really thought about that. You know, we had a pretty good discussions with Gunther and all the team, and they were very optimistic for next year. I mean, it was really just looking at it like this is just a blip, and we're going to get it all figured out, and they're going to have a great year. They were very optimistic. Don't you guys agree? It seemed like they weren't worried at all about next year.
No, and I think this was a bit of a blip, and they know why. I mean, they found the problem. They knew what it was. It was cooling, which was leading to mechanical grip and heat in the tires, not being able to get it. That's why you didn't see them on the harder tire, and I think that's why they struggled by their own admittance. They've tried to rectify certain problems. But as you say, life goes on, and I think they're looking at both the price cap and 2021 as being their way of maybe becoming, again, competitive for a top five. But who knows? Haas Honda? I quite like the idea. But, Larry, I've said this all along. The minute that Alfa Romeo named themselves Alfa Romeo, it just seemed to me that they were going to be officially the Ferrari junior team. And Raikkonen going to, Alfa Romeo kind of confirmed that. So I agree with you. I think the emphasis is definitely on making Alfa Romeo the junior team to Ferrari rather than Haas anymore.
Yeah, I really do believe that, and I really do think you're right about that. And Haas, it has continual brake problems. Ever since they've had that car, they've had an extreme, extreme problem sorting out their brakes. And I don't know what the issue was with that on their car. Plus, if I could digress to last week, what's up with Ferrari? Again, today, no pace. And then last week, putting their leader on a two-stop strategy, Vettel, who was behind Leclerc, on a one-stop strategy. What is going on with Ferrari? This is atypical of their race planning and then atypical of their race pace. I don't know what's going on over there.
Yeah, I think it just shows you how Mercedes, over this last decade, have not only produced the best car, but also the best strategy and the best strategists. I mean, you saw Hamilton literally in real time deciding on how long to stay out, and that is a big part of this. I think Hamilton's thinking and his relationship with both Peter Boddington and the rest of the team, where they trust him, and Toto Wolff knows what they're doing. They plan this for a 1-2, or at least close to that, and that's what they got. And Ferrari got what it got, and it just shows you the difference. And it's yes, there are differences in the engines and the styling and the design, but frankly, Mercedes are a cut above the rest, and proved it again today.
Yeah, but it's hard to argue with a five-time world champion when he says, no, I don't want a box. So they tell his teammate today, okay, go ahead, you're okay to attack. and then tell him, look, you know, you want to fight for second, pit if you don't stay out. In other words, you made your bed, bub, lie in it, and he still gets the 1-2. So I think they're, you know, like you're saying, the strategy, the decision making at Mercedes. But did that fella at Ferrari that passed on take that much knowledge to the grave with him? God rest him. Did it really sink that team?
Well, this is a good tie-in. We just had a question from Facebook, Cal Quinn. He said, who's going to be Ferrari's team principal next year?
Wow.
Nice tie-in, yeah.
Arrivederci.
No, he's gone.
It's been a heck of a year. You know, with
that's
Arrivederci.
He's gone. Arrivederci.
Sorry, Larry, go ahead.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, but that's what I'm saying. It's been an extremely interesting year. Here, the Formula One of this generation is – unbelievable racing. You have to harken back to the glory days to get the kind of competitiveness, even though there's still only three teams really in contention. And there's a couple of teams trying to break out of the mid-pack to gain elite status, and I think maybe 2021 will help that. But it's been one to remember with all the twists and turns and the strategy differences and the choice of tires. Made it really competitive. It's been great racing to listen to on the radio.
Well, good. Did you listen to the radio today in the truck?
Yeah, sure did, although I got to confess I was in and out checking on my Steelers. thank goodness Adam Vinatieri had a bad holder. Pittsburgh would have lost that game. And now I got to switch over to Fort Worth and see how I'm doing Fort Worth here when you guys are done. But, yeah, I listened to the race today, and I listened because I was able to get on ESPN's website, find out when qualifying was. I was able to listen to qualifying after that.
Oh, good.
See, that's what I like, a real sports fan. He likes his NFL, he likes his Formula One, and he keeps them both going.
All right, well, Larry, well, thanks a lot.
Don't
thanks
even
for...
get me starting on Bayern München, so I don't even want to go there.
Larry, thanks for calling, buddy, and thanks for listening all season.
Hey, no problem. Appreciate the show, y'all. Thanks for the time. You're very generous. Thanks.
All right, thanks.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah. Ferrari is, I mean, it's all season long. You've been saying it, Jonathan, all season long, and I mean, they've had fast cars on and off, but the typical problems that Ferrari seems to have every year.
Yeah, and I don't know what the answer is. And if you look at the history of Ferrari, this is not something new. You only have to look at the history of Ferrari. They went for a long, long time before the purple patch that was Schumacher's era without a win. Too, they went some 20 years without a long, long time without any real success, and they kept dropping the ball. And yeah, it was when that group of Ross Brawn, who's now the sporting director of Formula One, came in that we really got a chance to see what they could do with a really organized group. And they finally did it. And you know, it was a combination of Rory Byrne, Ross Brawn, and you know, effectively a very well-oiled machine for them to, you know, for them to actually finally do it. But I don't know. They'll get there. They've got a great car.
All right. Well, listen, let's say bye to Christian Brooks. We've got another driver. And say, Christian, thanks for coming in.
Hey, buddy, what are you driving next year?
I'm not sure yet, but definitely not Formula One. So we still got a while to go until we get there. I hope you guys enjoyed the race and these guys talking about it. So have a good one, and talk to you guys later.
Congratulations on your win. Well done.
Hey, before we...
And good luck in there with the stewards.
He's got to see the stewards. Yeah. No fun.
It's like call to the principal's office.
I asked him what for, and he goes, I don't know.
Well, you know, like I said, he didn't hit anybody. He didn't do any major things that we saw. So
hey,
we'll
before we introduce our next guest, we got to take a break. But before we do that, I'm going to play this clip. We had all this time with all these drivers, and we have a clip from Max Verstappen. And I just love the way Max said it, because we were asking about the Coda bumps that have arisen from the ashes here. And so let's hear what Max Verstappen says about the Coda bumps.
It's just a great track. Just purely talking about the track first. I think there are some corners in it which are maybe taken away from like old school tracks and then modified a little bit, but it's kind of the same characteristic. And yeah, it's a lot of fun, especially the first sector I really enjoy. But then also the track, the layout in the race, there are so many opportunities to overtake, which I think is just very exciting. And yeah, it's like I said, with the also then with the bumps over the years, it's getting quite bumpy. So I guess, yeah, we do need to look at it that it stays under control. But for the moment, it's just adds another element to it, you know, in some corners where it makes it a bit more difficult.
Yeah, so it's not a big negative. It's just a characteristic of the track.
Exactly, yeah. And I guess over the years, from the first time I was here to now, it did become a lot more bumpy. But at the end of the day, you know, we also drive on street circuits where it's really bumpy as well. So, yeah, just deal with it.
Deal with it. That's what Max Verstappen says. And, you know, I think
I like his attitude, yeah.
The race went off today. As, you know, we had complaints and discussions, but yeah. So, hey, let's go in and take a quick break. And we come back, we've got a guest in studio here at Circuit of the Americas that we're going to introduce. You're listening to Speed City. We're live at Circuit of the Americas for our post-race show for the 2019 Formula One United States Grand Prix. Back after these messages.
As a rider, you know what you like. The power, the feel, the ride. When it comes to gear, you know what keeps you safe. Ducati Austin provides riders with the finest in day and easy leathers. The best the market offers. Visit Ducati Austin on Breaker Lane just east of I-35 and throw your leg over the most iconic sports bike ever built. Ducati. Even take it for a test ride. Or see what's been described as art on wheels from MV Agusta. You know what you like. See it at Ducati Austin. Online at DucatiAustin.com.
When you're looking for traditional Tex-Mex, look no further than an Austin favorite, One in a Million. Serving original family recipes since 1980 and located just minutes from downtown at 2300 East Cesar Chavez, One in a Million has your Tex-Mex fix every day of the week from 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. Breakfast is served all day. Homemade migas, enchiladas, and menudo. And try the Don Juan taco. Some say it's big enough to feed a family of four. One in a Million. Online at oneinamillion.com.
At Circle Brewing, the belief is less is more when it comes to brewing a better beer. You won't find any chemicals or additives. Only water, malt, hops, and yeast. And absolutely nothing else. Just simple ingredients and outstanding taste. It's German purity with Texas ingenuity. Find the brews on tap all over town, in your favorite store, or drop by the tap room at 2340 West Breaker Lane, open Thursday and Friday nights and weekends. Log on to circlebrewing.com. Circle Brewing Company, born, bred, and brewed in Texas.
Winding Road Racing is your first and best choice for all the essentials for a great weekend at the track. We're racers, and we love helping racers. With a full selection of racing gear in stock, get geared up with all the safety equipment needed to meet all the latest Snell FIA and SFI regulations. Outfit your car with a comprehensive lineup of racing necessities, and when you need to find a few more tents, turn to data acquisition systems from AIM Sports, V-Box, and others. Austin-based with shops in California, Georgia, and Kentucky, the source for all your racing needs. Winding Road Racing, WindingRoadRacing.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Talk 1370, the right choice.
If you're gonna play in Texas, you gotta have a fiddle in the band. That lead guitar is hot, but not for Louisiana man. So Raw's enough that both are faded love, and let's all dance. If you're gonna play in Texas, you gotta have a fiddle in the band.
Hi guys, this is Pierre Gasly, and you're listening to Speed City.
Live from Circuit of the Americas, you're listening to Speed City's coverage of the Formula One United States Grand Prix. Speed City's coverage is brought to you by the F4 US Championship, sanctioned by SCCA Pro Racing.
Welcome back to Circuit of the Americas. We're live here, and we have just been privy to watch Lewis Hamilton win his sixth world championship. Here in Austin, Valtteri Bottas wins the race, and Lewis Hamilton wins the championship as expected. We're joined in studio by a young race driver that has some aspirations to race maybe Formula One, Benjamin Peterson. Benjamin, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me. What a great race here. Awesome to witness Hamilton winning his sixth world championship. Just kind of a fanboy right now, but obviously I'm a racer myself, racing in the British F3 Championship and the American F3. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, well, we talked about earlier, but watching history. I mean, you're being a fanboy, but I mean, we're watching the Schumacher of our generation, and who knows what's left in store for Lewis Hamilton.
Absolutely. I think he seems to approach every championship with just a different mindset than everyone else. I think it's very fascinating. As a young driver looking up to him, you know, I think he looks at himself and says, you know, I've won 6 championships today, and then he looks in the mirror tomorrow and he's ready to do another one. So I don't think he's settled. I think he recently posted that, you know, it still feels like I'm starting. So he hasn't quite reached his peak yet, is what he's saying. So I think that's really fascinating.
Yeah, we see athletes going, like, I mean, look at Raikkonen. Was he 40? Is he 41 yet? So, I mean, how old is Hamilton? 36?
36.
I think he's 36 or so, yeah. So who knows? He could, if the way Mercedes is going, he could win a couple more championships and be the lone man with 8 championships.
Got to be the plan, hasn't it, really?
I
mean, he now has risen above expectations. His hero was Ayrton Senna, and of course Ayrton got 3 world titles, and Lewis kind of lived in awe, and it's interesting to hear Benjamin talk about, you know, looking up to other drivers and how important that is. And I remember watching Lewis come through the ranks, and it's weird, my whole career has watched Lewis from the age of 4. He was on Blue Peter, which is a kids show, winning a remote control car. He was a remote control car champion at 4 when he started his karting career, and he was on TV at 4, actually showing off his skills as a remote control car, you know, driver effectively. Yeah, and he was this tiny little thing in a little anorak, and then he went on and you know, got to about 9 years old and was starting to make his name in karting, and famously went to the British Grand Prix and won the British Karting Championship, went to the Autosport Awards, where all of the great champions go. Carl Kirkwood was there last year. You didn't go, did you?
No, I was close to going, but not quite.
But that, where you're all in black tie and it's at the Grosvenor, and it's a big deal. And Lewis sauntered over to Ron Dennis, who was the McLaren boss at the time and owner of
McLaren. At what age?
At 9. And said, hey, can I come and drive for you one day? I'd like to come and drive for you one day. And it was all a bit of a joke. And Ron Dennis said, call me in 10 years.
But it was less than that.
It was less than that.
Yeah.
And ironically, and the truth of the matter was, Ron Dennis took it seriously, did his research, and actually started investing in Lewis at that age. Not officially, but certainly keeping an eye on him, keeping a watchful eye on him. And I think before he was even 15, he was under the tutelage of McLaren, and the rest is history, as they say. But, you know, none of these stories are without, you know, there's always a story like that. I mean, do you young drivers look up to, do you try to emulate and look at the eating habits and listen to the interviews and try to see if you can live the same way? I mean, it's impossible, but at the same time, do you kind of look at several drivers and think, I'd like a little bit, you know, I'd like to do that, I'd like to talk like that, I'd like to be like that, I'd like to drive like that?
Yeah, you know, it's a great point. I think as a young driver, obviously you look up to some of the greats like Hamilton and the other Formula One drivers, but yeah, you look at their attributes, I would say, but I never feel like I want to be one of them, because I'm always trying to be myself. I look at what they're doing, I look at their training regimens, everything like that, and take things to myself to better myself. But the key in what I just said there too is myself. I'm trying to be myself, make my own brand. And that's just kind of my ultimate goal.
Well, this is Benjamin Peterson, who was born in Denmark but has grown up pretty much here in the States. He, in fact, won here for his sponsor Dirtfish in Formula 4 this time last year, and has currently been racing both here in the States, where he was the most successful winner. He didn't win the championship because he didn't do the whole championship. He could have easily won it if he'd have done the whole year, I think, but has also been racing in the British Formula 3 Championship. So keep an eye out for him, because he's definitely on the way up.
Well, I want to shift gears a little bit, and a big announcement. Not only the biggest news, of course, Lewis Hamilton winning the championship this weekend, but some big news this weekend with the 2021 rules and regulations being announced at a big press conference here, and we saw the new car being released. There's a replica that we've climbed all over here in the media center. And number one, the car looks great. Number two, all the aerodynamics, you know, we're talking moving back towards a ground effects car and the aerodynamics to allow cars to get right behind other cars. So it appears to be that it's going to be great racing. And we actually had an opportunity to talk to Chase Carey, who is the CEO and executive chairman of Formula One. And we have a full interview that we actually don't have time for the whole thing, but we're going to play some clips from it. And I think this first clip from Chase Carey is talking about the United States market. You know, a lot of every change they do is to try to grow the audience, right? But this particular segment of the interview is with Chase talking about the U.S. market with Miami and all that. So let's hear from Chase Carey.
Obviously, the United States is a key market for Formula One. Do we think we have a good shot at getting Miami done? And then, and what do we, the collective we, have to do to help grow the sport here in the United States?
Well, I mean, we do believe the sport has enormous potential for growth here in the United States. Adding an event, you know, we're very proud of this event here in Austin, you know, but I think adding another event in a destination location like Miami or Las Vegas, we think would add another dimension to it. Miami, we're deeply engaged in. We still got some issues to get through, but, you know, they're active and we're working on it. Yeah, I think as much as anything, you need to give fans the opportunity to engage and follow the sport and take advantage of all the ways you can do it. I mean, clearly the world today, you're an example of it, can connect and follow, you know, the sports, the teams, the heroes, you know, in ways they never could in the past. And when we came into Formula One a couple of years ago, Formula wasn't really doing a lot of those things. And I think as we've given fans an opportunity, you know, to follow the sport on media platforms and social media in other ways, we've actually found great take-up in the U.S. as we've pursued initiatives like the show on Netflix, if we've pursued initiatives like our esports competition. I think all of those things enable fans to engage and follow, have a show on Sirius, I mean, a channel on Sirius. So those, all of these things, I think, give fans an ability to engage, follow, you know, to enjoy the sport and appreciate the sport. And I think we need to continue to build on that, you know, build on teams in the U.S. Haas is a U.S.-based team. You know, we're proud to have Haas in the sport. I think we can continue to build on, you know, that and get broader participation. Look, we'd love to have a U.S. driver. I mean, in the past, used to have many U.S. drivers. I was talking to Mario Andretti in Milan earlier this year. So in the past, we had some great, you know, U.S. drivers. So it's a building process. We said early on, building the sport in the U.S. was an important priority, but it was one that would take time. It wasn't, we're in the middle of our third year. This was not a 2 to 3 year process. This was building the sport in the U.S. is a 5 to 10 year process. But we've really been excited about the reaction and response as we've given U.S. fans more opportunities to engage, whether it's at fan festivals, this event, attendance going to be way up, you know, this weekend. Digital media, other platforms, you know, have all, you know, further encouraged us about the appetite and interest and excitement about the sport here in the U.S.
I think that these guys are doing a great job. I know that there's no way they're going to escape criticism. There's no way you could take over something like this and not get criticized on some level by someone.
Oh, absolutely.
But look at – we talked about it also in this interview, but Netflix – I want to ask you, because we all been talking, but you, Benjamin Peterson, the Netflix series, have you had people that have talked about that and gotten into that series?
Absolutely. You know, I have some friends that don't even follow the sport. They've watched it, been hooked on it right from the first episode, the first 10 minutes. I think the series does a great job. I've personally watched it. It does an awesome job really showing the behind the scenes. And I think like anyone else being at a live event, their first event ever, it's hard not to be hooked to this sport. You know, the sound, the smells, the visually watching the F1 cars, it's just so impressive. I kind of ask the question, like, how can you not like this? It's just so mesmerizing, so cool, something you want to be a part of. So as a driver, you know, me, I'm ultimately sitting in the best seat, which is, I feel really fortunate too. And then to share that with others is really special as well.
You know, and the sport is so complex, too. They get into what they watched. If they started that way and learned about the sport through Netflix, they're looking at all the stories behind the scenes and all the drama and all that. But there's so many layers to the sport. Like me, the number one thing by far for me is the technology. I want to know everything there is to know it. And that's a frustrating thing about Formula One, is that you don't get to know it because it's all so secretive. But every other level of motorsports, we learn about the technology, whether it's the engines, the suspensions, the aero, the hybrid now, right, all these different things. But that's just another layer. Then there's, of course, the layer of competition, which for probably for most motorsports fans, number one is the competition. After, you know, they don't even – some people don't even care about the technology. They just want to know the fastest. And I've met drivers that know nothing about the technology. They don't know anything about what makes that car go. They don't want to know. They know enough to give their engineers feedback.
Right.
But they want to know what makes them go faster. And if it needs to be technology, but there's so many layers to the sport. And
I think one of the key things with Formula One is it's, you know, you look at other series like IndyCar, which is easy to forget is actually a spec series. But F1 has since it started, has always been innovation for road cars and the automotive industry as a whole. The technology we see today in F1 cars goes straight into the street cars. Whether you know it or not, it is there.
Disc brakes, ABS, everything that you, yeah.
Traction, variable valve
traction
timing.
Control. Yep. You know, the latest Ferrari 488 Pista has the latest innovation that you can get, and that's straight from the F1 factory. Absolutely.
Yeah, and also hybrid technologies, you know, all the efficiencies.
Sure. People,
racers have always wanted to go as far as they can on a drop of gasoline, so let's not forget about, which then equates to sustainability, too. And by the way, the 2021 Formula One regulations, sustainability is a major portion of what is going on in those regulations.
Going back to what you said, how good Liberty are doing, just think about the facts for a second. They invested $8 billion to buy Formula One. It's essentially a British product run by Brits, and effectively most of the teams are based in Britain. It's a series that goes back to 1950, covers 21, possibly 25 countries per year, has an average audience of 500 million, where the Super Bowl has 100 million. This was a weighty undertaking from a media company. And so to be in that maelstrom and up against that, after all that tradition and all that history, they are taking some major steps. And this 2021 is their first real major decision-making process, which will change the face of the sport for the future. It really is a critical 2 years for both Liberty and the future of the sport.
Yeah, incredible. And I can't wait to see the next chapter. So, all right, let's take a break. When we come back, we'll continue our discussions. You're listening to Speed City. We're live from Circuit of the Americas. Just watch the United States Grand Prix. Back after these messages.
Winding Road Racing is your first and best choice for all the essentials for a great weekend at the track. We're racers, and we love helping racers. With a full selection of racing gear in stock, get geared up with all the safety equipment needed to meet all the latest Snell FIA and SFI regulations. Outfit your car with a comprehensive lineup of racing necessities, and when you need to find a few more tents, turn to data acquisition systems from AIM Sports, V-Box, and others. Austin-based with shops in California, Georgia, and Kentucky, the source for all your racing needs. Winding Road Racing, WindingRoadRacing.com.
At Circle Brewing, the belief is less is more when it comes to brewing a better beer. You won't find any chemicals or additives, only water, malt, hops, and yeast, and absolutely nothing else. Just simple ingredients and outstanding taste. It's German purity with Texas ingenuity. Find the brews on tap all over town, in your favorite store, or drop by the tap room at 2340 West Breaker Lane, open Thursday and Friday nights and weekends. Log on to CircleBrewing.com. Circle Brewing Company. Born, bred, and brewed in Texas.
As a rider, you know what you like. The power, the feel, the ride. When it comes to gear, you know what keeps you safe. Ducati Austin provides riders with the finest in day and easy leathers. The best the market offers. Visit Ducati Austin on Breaker Lane just east of I-35 and throw your leg over the most iconic sports bike ever built. Ducati. Even take it for a test ride. Or see what's been described as art on wheels from MV Agusta. You know what you like. See it at Ducati Austin. Online at DucatiAustin.com.
When you're looking for traditional Tex-Mex, look no further than an Austin favorite, One in a Million. Serving original family recipes since 1980 and located just minutes from downtown at 2300 East Cesar Chavez, One in a Million has your Tex-Mex fix every day of the week from 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. Breakfast is served all day. Homemade migas, enchiladas, and menudo. And try the Don Juan taco. Some say it's big enough to feed a family of four. One in a Million. Online at oneinamillion.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Talk 1370.
Hi, this is Mario Andretti, and this is Speed City.
Live from Circuit of the Americas, you're listening to Speed City's coverage of the Formula One United States Grand Prix. Speed City's coverage is brought to you by the F4 US Championship, sanctioned by SCCA Pro Racing.
Welcome back to the show. So right now, Cool and the Gang is live right here at COTA.
I know.
Well, I've just noticed Hamilton's not in the driver's conference. Is he already over there doing his celebration?
Celebrating, yeah.
Yeah. Ties in well.
They're giving him a break.
Hey, I want to jump into some more of the interviews. It's John Massico, Les Kaiser, and Jonathan Green out at Circuit of the Americas, along with our special guest, Benjamin Peterson. But we have some interviews that we've got to get in because we had access to the drivers all this weekend. And there was a special, special guest. He's a driver, but he's not a Formula One driver. He's a NASCAR driver. And he was a special guest of the Haas F1 team, of course. Tony Stewart was out at COTA.
And the smoke.
And he brought something with him. He brought him a car. He brought him a NASCAR. And he and Roman Grosjean and Kevin Magnussen all got to drive this NASCAR around COTA. Not the first one, I may add. That was Kurt Busch about 5 years ago.
That's right.
But I've got to play this clip because Tony seemed to think that NASCAR would go really well here at COTA. So let's play this clip from Tony Stewart about COTA.
It was a really cool opportunity to come here and do what we did today with Kevin and Grosjean. And, you know, it was a lot of fun to come to a venue we've never been to, but to bring, you know, a chance for these guys to get in the car and make laps, you know, at a venue they're comfortable with and familiar with, but in a different car. For me, it was a car I'm familiar with, but a venue I wasn't familiar with. So a lot of fun for me to get in the car and run here, but a lot of fun for me to watch those guys and see how much fun they had driving the cars.
And you kept it real nice and easy, right?
For the first two corners, and somehow some evil spirit took over, and the next thing I know, I'm doing what I do every night in a race car. I just start pushing everything, and next thing you know, we're at the capability of what the car can do. So it's it was a lot of fun, and it's, you know, anytime I don't think you can ever get a race car driver to run 80% in anything, so except maybe pit road. So to be able to come have fun today, it was a really good time, honestly.
Is this track good for a car from NASCAR?
Absolutely. There's no doubt in my mind that this venue would put on a good NASCAR race as far as the road course side. So everybody goes, well, would they take one away from Texas Motor Speedway? That would not be the right thing to do. I think there's other tracks on the schedule that I think I would take a race away from before I would take away one from Texas Motor Speedway. I think Eddie Gossage and his staff do an awesome job, and it would be an injustice to do that, to bring a race here. But I would say this is a great venue after running today. It's the fun part is I feel like there's at least five very solid passing opportunities per lap here. But most of all, it's a very technical racetrack, and that's the part that for me as a driver that I would look forward to competing at a place like this because of that. I mean, obviously your cars have to be right, but there's a lot of opportunity for the driver to really make the difference at this track, and that's something that as a race car driver I enjoy.
How about that? NASCAR at COTA, boys. What do you think?
Sounds fun to me.
Hey, I like the part that he said, 5 passing opportunities on this course.
Yeah.
I think it really would work here, and because NASCAR also, I mean, without being funny, NASCAR needs to spread its wings a little bit. It's got into a bit of a rut of being a southern thing. And okay, yeah, we're still in the relatively in the South, but this is not a place where NASCAR is that well known. But I think they would like it. I think they get into it. I think it's got all the dimensions, and also because it's a road circuit, as Tony said in our interview, which by the way is worth listening to the full interview. You know, they're looking for more road courses and potentially putting some more road courses in the chase, which is something that's been lacking, I think. And I always enjoy the road course races from NASCAR. They're well worth watching.
Yes, Benjamin, you said you talked to Romain Grosjean about this, right? About the getting yep. to take the car out?
So, yeah, Friday evening, was in the paddock. Romain, I've been really fortunate to be close to him here in the past. You know, he's helped mentor me back starting from F4. Spoke to him in the paddock, and then, he said it was a lot of fun. He really enjoyed it, which is pretty cool to hear from a Formula One car driver. Jumping into a stock car for the first time, he was the way he described it, you know, obviously he has an accent, he's French, and when he was describing going down the back straight with the shifting, and he was like big long downshift, he's like bum bum, his enthusiasm with it was really cool. And I think the openness to other forms of motorsport is the big thing is respect, and then the other part is just cool.
Kevin Magnussen talked about it. He was a little more blunt, if you recall, in our interview. I don't have the Magnussen clip ready, but he said something like, yeah, I didn't handle that great. But he's comparing it to an F1 car. So.
It's not meant to handle great.
Exactly.
That's the point. It's all about input from a driver, and that's what I love about it.
James Courtney from the Australian V8 Supercar says it was like wrestling a bear.
Wrestling a bear, a 900-horsepower bear, I think he said. Hey,
I didn't know he was Austrian.
I don't know what he is.
Australian.
Hey, we have one more clip from Chase Carey that I want to play up. I was going to play him back-to-back, but I didn't have it quite ready. But let's hear this clip from Chase about the 2021 rules. And a little preface here.
Yeah.
We got to sit with Chase here in the offices at Circuit of the Americas and talk about the 2021 rules, this American market, and lots of things. But let's hear from Chase Carey now.
Yeah, I mean, we're very excited. I mean, we've been working on this for a while, you know, probably it's been a work in process for, you know, realistically, probably a couple of years. So it's nice to get this step. Obviously, we've got a lot of work left to do. We got to now make it happen. And these rules are not, like we're done. So it's an ongoing process, but these are a very important step. And I think really the foundation for us, enabling us to make the sport everything we want it to be in terms of competition, action on the track, and a much healthier sport for everybody.
You know, one of the questions I asked in the press conference was, technology fans, do we have anything to worry about? Because we love the fact that F1 is the pinnacle. It's the most advanced kind of racing there is. Do we have any concerns there?
No, and I think that's why we tried to address it right up front, that I think the DNA of Formula One, is critical to its future. I mean, this is a great sport with a great history. Great heroes, great events, and we want to build on that. We don't want to change it. We want to build on it. And part of that is making sure we continue to have a sport that is first a great sport with great competition on the track, but is a sport married to technology. And it is what distinguishes the sport from almost every other sport out there, and I think part of what makes it truly unique.
It's going to be great, guys, to watch how this plays out. I'm just rooting for what Liberty's doing and hoping it all works.
I see it as like when folks are zooming in and they're narrowing their scope down to be more pinpoint. They started with a table as wide as can be with all these things in it, things that needed to be addressed. And as they focus on the priorities and set their goals, they're narrowing in and zooming in and concentrating.
It's going to be fun to watch. Hey, I got one more clip I want to play because Jonathan, you and your connections to NASA, it's just a short clip, got us up to NASA, got Kevin Magnussen to NASA, the Daniel Kvyat, Pierre Gasly, and these guys couldn't believe what they saw at NASA. But let's play this clip from Kevin Magnussen talking about his trip to NASA with us.
It was fantastic. I mean, I'm a bit of a space geek, you know, myself, and I think it was amazing to be able to talk to, you know, not only Drew, who was showing us around, but also Luca, who was the Italian guy that we spoke to at the ISS, and we could see him live and with a live picture of him floating around in the air and just talk to him at the same time. That it was very surreal. You know, this wasn't like, I know Toro Rosso were there with Formula One television, but I asked my team if I could go, and they sorted me out. So it wasn't like a PR thing from my side. I wanted to go, and it was a great opportunity, and really glad I got the chance.
Yeah, Kevin Magnussen got to sit and talk to an astronaut on the space station from Mission Control at NASA in Houston. It was
pretty cool.
All right, well, we're going to wrap it up, guys. I want to thank Benjamin Peterson for being in the studio with us.
Thanks, guys.
And
where will you be racing next year?
Yeah, pretty exciting times right now. Looking to be back in Europe again. You know, a couple of different series are open. The big one will probably be British F3, considering that I did it this year and have a little bit more experience under my belt with the tracks. But yeah, it's that time of year, looking at all options.
Jan Magnussen won it quite a few years ago.
Yeah.
British Championship.
That's right. A good leeway then. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. I want to thank everybody who listened. I want to thank everybody who helped out. It's the crazy weekend out here, and everything went off great. And
you need to be here next year.
Yeah. Record crowd out here. Incredible weather. Amazing weekend.
World Championship
crowned. You know, part of history. And quite a bit of history out here at COTA now.
I think we're seeing the ladder climb from these guys, Ben. Yeah. Headed towards F1. We're going to get an American there.
Yeah, I want to thank all the guests from the F4 series, the F4 U.S. Championship, and it was a great weekend.
Yeah, no question. One of the best. A sellout crowd, something we've never had at the Circuit of the Americas.
All right, thanks, everybody. Check us out on our website if you want to learn more about us, speedcitybroadcast.com. And, of course, we'll be back for the next Formula One race. Talk to you next week.
Ciao, y'all.
Happy trails.
God bless Texas. T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.